Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a living witness because, you know, I used to travel up and down the dangerous highway. I call myself singing God's praises and songs. Well, at that time, little did I know that singers were supposed to live the life that they sang about.
Woo!
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So I used to sing in schoolhouses, auditoriums, and even in church houses, but I really had not accepted Jesus and made him the ruler of my life. And during that time, I was running up and down the aisles, playing my guitar, talking about I've been born again, I've got the Holy Ghost, let me see you raise your hand. And you know what? All that time, all I was doing was just lying, lying, lying. So I came back home all puffed up and cried, thought my praying mother was going to praise me. But she rebuked me sharply. She said, son, don't you keep running around singing like that, then die and lose your soul. And then she said something I never will forget as long as I live. Looking me straight in the eye, mother said to me, she said, son, don't you know you can sing a lie just as well as you can tell one?
Woo!
Revelation 21 and verse 8. And it was in a little room in North Carolina. I was reading Isaiah 1:18. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of Christ spoke sweetly to my soul. And it said to me.
Well, welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And this is Gernard Reed, your host on this evening. And I hope you were enjoying JoJo along with me with his testimony about how he found Jesus. And sweetly, amen, Jesus is calling on us. Sweetly, he's calling. And so we go into this evening's broadcast. Tonight is Bible study night, and we have a really tough one for you tonight. And we want to talk about free will tonight. So get your pencils, pens, paper, and remember our contact information for the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. The contact information is email goteachandbaptize, all one word spelled out, goteachandbaptize @gmail.com. We are getting a few emails here and there, and our telephone information is 804-313-7853. Again, it's 804-313-7853. I am Bernard Reed, your host of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And tonight we're going to look at, we're going to study a little free will. Before we do that, I want to deal with just to ask us some questions. I'm going to throw a couple of things out there. What separates, I've heard this so many times in my life, different stages of my life, what separates man from the animal kingdom? What separates mankind, men and women, humans? What separates humans from animals, insects, fish, and birds? I know you've heard this question before, and you've probably heard many answers, and there are some things that are distinct and absolute. And so we know that we're in a day of science. But someone was telling me yesterday that someone had been kept alive for 6 months, the innards of a calf. And, you know, whether or not you believe in that, whether or not I believe in if that's of God or not, it's being done. And we remember that 30 years ago, we actually celebrated that a young girl, baby Faye, had a baboon heart transplanted into her system, and that was seen as a great progress in medical science. And the transplant list, even in this little small town, I'm amazed at how many people have had kidney transplants. I know two people that have had heart transplants and are doing well. that are fired. In fact, maybe even be listening to this broadcast. So we're in a modern and advanced world. But what separates mankind or humans from the animals, insects, fish, and birds? Oftentimes in academia, the answer that's given to that question, what separates us from the animals, is usually that humans have the ability to reason. Humans have the ability to be full of themselves, too, mind you, but we're not the only ones that can reason. If you live in a country like I do, out in a rural area like I do, you can sit on your porch and watch animals do some of the most amazing things. I planted a little garden this year, and I fenced the garden in with a makeshift fence that I made. It's a very, really small garden, fit the size of my truck, or maybe twice the size of my truck, very small garden. And everything's looking good. Beans were coming up, and I had some butter beans growing up, lima beans, pole beans. They were growing up on the fence. And I came home one day, and something had gotten there and eaten the limas down. It really disappointed. That really frustrated me. And happened to be another day, sick. And I wandered out to the door and looked outside, and I couldn't believe my eyes. There was this great big groundhog. I mean, a big one, fully mature. He had climbed this thin fence, and he was on top of the fence eating what was left of the lima bean leaves. How that big, that heavy fella got up on that fence, and I took a picture of him. I was just fascinated. He actually sat there and examined and figured out, how can I balance my body on that fence and eat the last of those leaves? That's called reasoning. And that I would put that reasoning that groundhog did up against anybody's reasoning here tonight. And we also know if you have squirrels, if you have bird feeders, then you know what squirrels can do. I don't care how you rig your bird feeder up. The squirrel will sit there and rub his chin until he figures out how to get out to where he needs to get to steal your bird seed from birds. So animals reason. The simplest of animals reason. I grew up, we raised hogs, and we had some cows and so forth. They know how to reason. And so that is not what's – I would say humans reason better perhaps or at a different level, but the ability to reason is not what separates us from the animal kingdom. Some animals and vermin, if you've had mice, tell the truth and shame the devil. If you've had mice, rodents, vermin, they know how to reason. They know how to get in the craziest places, like the back of your television. They know how to do that. So it's not that. Reasoning is good. A lot of folks say communication. What does separate man from the animals and insects? I'm going somewhere with this. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We are glad to come to you on this evening with a Bible study. We're opening the Bible study by asking the question, what separates humans from the animals, insects, fish, and birds, from the animal kingdoms? And so the first answer was ability to reason. We marked that wrong because animals can reason. Second most common answer is communication. You know, dogs bark and humans talk. But the truth of the matter is they've done all this extensive research. Whales, which are also mammals, whales communicate with each other from long distances. Amazingly long distances, whales communicate and navigate. So do dolphins. Many of the seafaring animals, the reptiles, and so they communicate. Some of them use sonar and all kinds of things. They communicate, and it's useful. Dogs, we know dogs communicate. Pets, they communicate. They know how to make it known. I was blown away, 30-some years ago, walking to the store, a little country store, and the guy says to his dog, Sue, go get yourself a can of dog food off the shelf. Sue ran back there, stood up against the shelf, took the paw, fooled with it, till the can fell on the floor, picked the can up in the mouth, brought it to the guy. He opened it up and said, Sue. He said, Sue, something in it. So not only could Sue reason, Sue could communicate. Sue understood what he was saying. Sue did what he said. That's called communication. So dogs, we know, communicate extremely well. They feel our emotions. Well, we're sad. They saddened. So where am I going? Communication, we marked that wrong as well. Good idea. So then what does separate human beings from the animal kingdom? You heard it first on Jeremiah Speaks. You heard it from Gernard Reed. Mark it down, mark it down. Number one, empirical wisdom. Empirical wisdom. Empirical wisdom is the ability to learn from people we have never met and to pass on information likewise. There are things I've learned from my grandfather and whom I barely knew because he passed them down to his son and his son passed them down to me. I passed them down to my son passed them down to his son. Five generations are better because of something my grandfather discovered. That's empirical wisdom, is that I don't have to be in the same room. We have the ability not just to talk on telephone, not just to talk by internet and so forth, but we can share information, things that we've learned, with other people. Animals cannot do that. Animals tend to operate on instinct, and many of the animals learn as much as they can learn in their lifetime. And they learn how to manipulate and how to do maneuver things like Sue with a can of dog food. But Sue cannot tell Sue's grandchild how to get the dog food off the shelf. And so that grandchild, the grand puppy, is going to have to learn that all on their own, all over again. The animals learn, they learn all over again. They are not blessed with passed on information, empirical wisdom. That's what separates us. Human beings ought to be getting smarter and smarter and smarter. I literally ought to have all of my grandfather's smarts, plus my father's smarts, plus my mother and my grandmother's smarts, plus what little I have. So I ought to automatically be sharper than they were because I have everything that they learned. Remember, there were humans that had to learn about light, had to learn about gravity, had to learn about iron, had to learn about wheels and so forth. They passed all that down to us. We didn't start all over again every time a human is born. So what separates us from the animal kingdom? Empirical wisdom. You heard it from the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. The second one, free will. The second one is free will. That's where we're going tonight as we're going into the scriptures, and we're going to look at some scriptures on free will. And I'm going to read them from the King James Bible. You can follow in any Bible. Most of these will have a really similar translation and interpretations of the scriptures I'm putting for you, regardless of what translation you use. But I'm going to start with Genesis. I always like to start in Genesis, the first chapter. And we know what happened in Genesis, the first chapter, the creation. And so we go to Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That he actually began based on me talking about who am I. And who am I? What's in my soul? Not who am I on the surface, how do I dress, and those kind of things. But we've been talking off and on since spring about who am I really? What is distinct about me and what I have in common with everybody else? So the things I'm going over, I talked 2 weeks ago about fruits of the Spirit, that we have all nine fruits of the Spirit when we're born again in Christ. And it's just, you know, that's kind of who we are. We also have gifts of the Spirit. Last week I talked about children of God. We're called a child of God once we receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ, once we are born again. Heard JoJo on the introductory song for the Sensation Nightingales. He said, run around telling people he was born again. You ought to hear his testimony about how to be born again. That's one of the songs on one of the albums, How to Be Born Again. So once we're born again, things are put in our soul. But guess what? Free will is put there before we're born again. Free will is there the minute we're born as a newborn baby, we are given free will. There are those in the Christian community, there are those in other religions that will argue that that's not quite so and that free will is something else. No, here's the free will is there the minute we're born the first time. Whether we are born into sin and shaped in iniquity, we still have free will. We can say yes or no to anything at any turn. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty creator we serve. That none other creator, that he's only one creator. That's God all by himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's the Godhead. That's our creator. Elohim, that's our creator. But we only have one creator, and this creator loves us so much that he made us in his image. And part of who God is free will. We get caught up in what does God look like. Well, God looks like us, or we look like God. Arguments about that, that's not where this is going. This is going into what else is made in the image of God? Free will. God is a free will, and he gave it to us. He did not have to. He could have made us automatons. He could have made us so that we do what he says. He could have made us as subjects. He could have made us with instinct like the animals have. He separated humans from the animals. He separated us from instinct. We have some things we do instinctively that we train ourselves out of as we grow older, but he made us with a free will that at any given time, we can reject God. We can reject our family. We can reject the life like we're living it. We can reject any of that, or we can accept it. God is saying that we can choose the way of death if we want, but he says, please, choose life. We can choose some other God, but he says, please, choose me. Let's go to Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua 24, let's do the 15th verse. Joshua 24, 15, and when I get there, if you don't know it already, you're gonna go, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. Because we know that Joshua 24 is his farewell sermon. It's at the end of the book. And so we're not going to do all of that. We're going to take one scripture here. Joshua 24, 15. And look what Joshua says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which are the fathers, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is Joshua saying here? He's appealing to the fact that we have a free will. Anytime we can choose, he said to them, Old Testament, talking to the children of Israel before they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, he's saying to them, before you go into the promised land, you need to figure out who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the Egyptians? Are you going to serve the gods in this land right here that has no power, gods made by people's hands? Or are you going to serve the true and living God? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua makes it clear that has a choice. Let's go to the New Testament. We are in the New Testament age, and so we like to see some proof, some witness from the New Testament. So the first witness and proof I'll give from the New Testament for free will, that we have the right to choose. We have the obligation to choose and make strong and firm decisions. Is we're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10, 24, what we're looking for here is, do we have the right to choose, or is it already done for us, or even is it hopeless like some folk out there believe? So we go to the 10th chapter. Well, we might not go to the 10th chapter and 24th verse because there is no 24th verse. Let's try 2 Corinthians here. I lost my train of thought now. Oh, that's my problem. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, 24. And then it'll jump. Oh, yeah, here we go. 1 Corinthians 10, 24. Let no man seek his own. No. That's good, but that's no. Let's get that one. Put a mark by that. I got 1 Corinthians 10, 24. It says that we're allowed to do anything, but everything is beneficial. So what mistake I made there? You go to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 is a popular salvation verse. Even I messed up. Where we go to Romans 10:9, popular salvation verse that we quote in the plan of salvation. This is really bothering me how I messed that other scripture up. But Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's saying that you can be saved if you believe in your heart that God sent his son and raised him from the dead. In other words, You're not saved if you don't believe that. And in other words, he said, confess with your mouth. That simply means you made a choice. And you made a declaration. I made that declaration. I made a declaration that I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe God sent his son, and his son came, took my sins, died for me, and rose again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, to believe that, I have to use my free will. I have the free will to accept that or to reject it. God is so good, so loving, so kind that he made beings in his own image that he allows to outrightly reject him and walk away. He allows them to call themselves God. He allows them to take their hands and make their own God because that's how sure he is of who he is. Let the church say amen. Finally, I'm going to go to Revelation 3:20. And Revelation 3:20 is another popular scripture. When I'm doing a plan of salvation, most of the time in somebody's house, I dramatize the scripture. I say back in the 60s, folk had in their houses a few pictures because they were traveling salesmen that sold them. The one was a picture of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, President John F. Kennedy, and Attorney General Bobby Kennedy. I had three of them in this picture, and it would be hanging on the walls of people's houses. And another picture that they had was a picture of this great big rough-looking door with no knob on it. And there's a picture of Jesus standing outside the door knocking. Great big rough door. Jesus standing outside the door patiently knocking. And so Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him and him with me. So Jesus is saying, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Let me come in. Please let me come in. Can I come in? Please come. Can I come in? Because of the divine design that God has given to mankind, he does not force himself in, take a battering ram and knock the door down and say, here I am, you must accept me. Jesus says, you don't have to answer that door. You don't have to open the door of your heart to him. You have a free will and a right to reject me and not answer that door. And sadly, we know millions, billions of people do not answer that door. But he says, if you answer the door, the whole God here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're going to come in and we're going to fellowship with you and you with us. It's up to you. And then the dramatization has this great big rough door with no knob on it, meaning that Jesus can't even open it from the outside. It must be opened from the inside. That's five scriptures I've given to justify, witness what free will is. We can accept or reject God at any turn, free will. Our Creator created us that way. Oh, how he loves us to make us in his own image. We may honor or reject salvation. We don't have to receive God's plan of salvation. I've witnessed it to some folks. I witnessed it to a man and a woman. I broke the plan down as hard as I could, and I said, so what do you say? The man looked at me, had a scowl on his face. He said, you know, I like what you're saying, but I'm not ready yet. He and the woman went on at the door, broke my heart, but they made a conscious decision. They told me they understood the plan that I cited to them, just weren't ready to receive it yet. And I guess there are a lot of people that go through that. Many of them do come back and receive it. We can reject the fruits of the Spirit. We don't have to receive them just because God made them and put them inside of us. We don't have to accept those. A lot of people reject it. Call into the ministry. There are people who have been called to the gospel, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and never accepted it. We know that a lot of ministers, they tell these stories in their testimony. They ran. They were overwhelmed by it when they were called, but they eventually came and accepted. But there are some who just had a calling, never responded to it. We believe that every Christian who was born again in Christ has a calling on their life, several callings probably. As they grow, as they mature, they reach the next level, they get a new calling. And God will send people to do a task. He told Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach to those wicked people. That was a task. That was a one-time task. And we see what happened. Jonah said, I'll go the other way. I'm not going down to that wicked place. Happens all the time. happens all the time in this community, your community. People are called and instructed by God, by the Holy Spirit, to go do something. They just choose not to do it. They don't have time. And we miss blessings. We miss miracles. We miss all kinds of things because it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing. We're rejecting him. But outright rejection, God allows that. The Hebrew writer says that when we walk with God, enjoy the promises of God, enjoy the fellowship of God, commune with God, suck with God, when we've done all that and then we decide to walk away from God, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. When we say, no, I don't like that God, there is no God, any of that, then he said, no, there's nothing left there for. Matthew tells us that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will get us kicked out of the kingdom. And then the Hebrew writer says there's no more sacrifices of sins for that. All of that centers around outright rejection of Almighty God. We'll probably do a session here on blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think, oh, my gosh, I've been such a devilish person in my life. When have I done that? So we're going to address that. But right here tonight we're saying we have a free will. God is saying to us, choose me. Let me in. Fellowship with us. Invite me into your heart. Make me the chief of your life. Turn your life over to me. But you don't have to. If you walk away, God is saying, I gave you that option. I embedded you with that. If you don't want me, move on. Be your God by yourself. He planted spiritual gifts in people. Every believer that's born again has at least one spiritual gift. You don't have to use the gift. You can reject the gift. Your life won't be quite as pleasant if you don't accept the gift, but you are not bound to accept the blessings and the gifts that God puts on you and spiritual offices. Ephesians 4 talks about spiritual offices, and some people have been called into an office and reject the office. They like it where they are. They'll retire. See, this is a new condition that we retire, and we decide we're going to vacation and lay back on the beach. All the while, God is calling us into an office, calling us late in our years to do something, calling us to be a pastor, calling us to do evangelism, calling us to be a prophet or an apostle, calling us to teach. And we are saying, you know what? I laid so many bricks in my life, and now I'm retired, and I'm going to lay back and take it easy. That may not be God's plan, but we have a right even to reject that. We have a free will. Where does that free will come from? Came from our Creator himself, who made us in his image, and among the other things that he gave to us, he gave us a free will. Down embedded in our soul, right at the heart of our soul, is the free will that at any given time we can accept or reject. Tonight I say unto you, accept. Do not reject the Spirit of God at any level or at any time. Make it a goal to never say no to the Holy Spirit. First, make it a goal to know the Holy Spirit, and when he's talking to you, understand him. And the second goal is to never say no to him. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. I am Bernard Reed. Our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com and 804-313-7853. Thank you for joining us. I hope you have comments, thoughts. You can certainly email or call me or text them to me. We'd be glad to be with you on this evening. May God bless you and keep you. Stay tuned for the fivefold ministry with the fantastic Apostle Margie Mercer.
If you will only take heed,
if you will heed,
and then obey
his calling,
my soul is a witness today that Jesus,
Jesus will save your soul.
He will surely save your soul.
Yes, God will save your soul. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast as we go into the inner courts and behind the veil to worship our God. You know, I realized what time it was. I was really missing that this time of year. I didn't even realize it. This is the year that my mom, my foster mom, was born, and that she died a couple of days before my birthday. And I have so many sweet memories of my mom that I'm a mother's girl. I love all mothers. They Shunammite women, they prevailing mothers, they mothers who can get a prayer through. They the mother that touched the hem of the garment. They was the mothers at the cross that said, take Jesus down. I love mothers. And I just want to salute my mom and all the mothers out there. I know it's not Mother's Day, but every day is Mother's Day. Oh, hallelujah. That I was thinking about one thing that she said to me. I never will forget this. I love my mom. That I didn't realize until I was 12 years old. I was in my mom's and dad's kitchen, and my aunt said to me, she said, you know you're adopted. I said, huh? She said, you was left in the car, and a lady found you and gave you to your mother. It hurt so bad because I didn't even hear that story. I didn't know what that story was, and in front of my mother, so disrespectful. And I said, that's my mother right there. And it hurt so bad, I ran into the bathroom where my dad was shaving. I said, Dad, are you my dad? You my papa? He said, I feed you, Donna. You got a roof over your head. I put clothes on your back. You mine. You know, people can be so cruel. And it really did something to me. It made me look at myself in the mirror to say, you know, why did my mother and father leave me? Why did this woman leave me in a car to be ate up by animals? Why did she just disregard her child? But I thank God. I said that, but, you know, God gave me to the Pearson family. I thank my mom. She loved me so much as foster mother. I can't even say foster mother. She my mother. She my mom, my mommy. And she took care of me, and she had my back. And I used to sit down in that kitchen, and I say, Mom, why can't I get it together? All the girls getting a job, they get married, they got good husbands, they're going to college. What's wrong with me? Is it because I'm a black sheep? Is it because I'm a foster child? Is it because I'm adopted? Is it because I was thrown away? She said, no, let them go ahead of you. She said, let them go ahead so you can learn lessons from them. She said, but the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You know, I got so tired of failing and not being able to keep up with people that I saw that was moving on with, you know, college careers and good jobs and everything. And I just, you know, just felt so bad that something was wrong with me. So I said, God, if you be God, will you save my soul? Will you help me get a job? And, of course, you know, you ask God for some of the jobs was coming in. I was failing some of those tests. And I said, Mom, why would God let me fail? Because he know I want a job. And that sweet mother said, because that ain't the job for you. She said, you watch and see. He going to give you some. And sure enough, I trust mother at a word. And that when my mom became sick and she went to New York and she died with an aneurysm, her heart burst inside of her chest, you know, trying to undo what was done unfairly to her. And my dad had just died prior, my foster dad. And he died. I was all alone. And I walked up that alley with nothing but the clothes on my back, and I went to my girlfriend, and I said, my best friend gone, you know. And as she let me sleep on the floor, eventually in her couch till I could work and get a job, I thank God, you know, that I realized that there were some things that was not meant for me. It wouldn't have been in my best interest. And when I finally did get saved and I was going to the church, I could never fit in. Have you ever been in a place in your life you're not good enough to be with the prissy folks, the sophisticated folks, or those that take their little napkin and wipe the side of their mouth and know which fork and spoon to use, but you're not mean and evil enough to be with evil folks that do evil things? I was always in the middle. Lord have mercy. So I tried my best to say, well, God, there's nothing else. I'm going to go to the church. And my mom said, don't go to the church. They're going to hurt you because you're different. You don't see like they see. And I said, well, Mom, you're the most holiest, sanctified woman I know. If God don't hear you, then all of us in trouble. And my mom wouldn't go to the church because she didn't have a pretty hat or a pretty suit. I didn't want to go to the church. I'm a country girl. You would be surprised how many degrees. Matter of fact, I'm not boasting. I have over 6 college degrees and can't speak a good lick of English. I can write now. I have written some books. I have produced a book, but I cannot talk well. But I always felt that I was a backward door learner. It was hard for me. People can't understand how to succeed like I have with the type of country dialect that I have. I'm a good old country girl. But I thank God that the upbringing that I had from my mom, that she showed me the love that I can make it. You know, even when I became a mother myself, I always told my kids, you're a genius. You get out there. They said, Mom, they laughing at my tennis shoes. I said, that's all right, you got feet. They said, Mom, they laughing at my clothes. We don't have the fancy clothes. I said, that's all right, but you're a genius. My son at 2.5 years old was tested by the Board of Ed. Had 160 IQ because I told him myself he was able to go to any school of his choice, $10,000 a semester, to the most prominent elite schools, what we call Gilman, Polytech, any of those private schools. He could pick and choose. They didn't even put him in pre-K or kindergarten. They just skipped him up to the first grade. That's how smart he is. Today, he's hired by a company in India that he runs the computers here in this United States, anywhere from California, Florida, New York. They call for him, and he has 3 computers that he manned. And I always told him, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. And I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going to keep on. I think this testimony might help somebody. And my next son said to me, Mommy, I'm the dark-skinned son. Everybody liked the yellow one. He said, Mom, I'm profiled by the police. He said, I can't even walk the streets. Where you going? He said, I can't be with my friends. You know, you must be with a gang or a hood. He said, I'm already labeled as a black man. I said, well, that's all right. You look like Michael Jordan. You're tall as he is. You can do it. And he has really, really struggled, but God told me to name him David because he's a king. Woo, hallelujah. And I thank God for that because even with that, he said, Mom, I've been laid off for 3 years. No matter what I try, people going ahead of me. I said, that's all right. You're going to make it. And he became his own entrepreneur. And now he's selling his own merchandise around the country. And I want to say to all of those, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going with it, that you are special to God. You love by God. So what if you look raggedy? Take a bath. So what if there's no soap, washing water? I used to have a syrup sandwich. I love syrup sandwich with biscuits. I would make a banana sandwich on bread. And I love eating the bone of a chicken. Me and mother used to fight over a chicken back because we love to suck on them bones. But, you know, it's amazing when I think about her. She would always eat the bony part of the chicken. Give me the breasts and give my dad the legs, the thighs. And she would suck on the neck and the bone. And one day I found out how sweet it was. I thought she was sacrificing, giving us the best meat, and she ate the poor meat. But the poor meat had the best flavor. Woo, hallelujah. I feel all right. I just want to say to all of you, thank you for praying for me. I really was feeling bad, but thank you so much. I feel all right tonight, but I just want to tell you to be encouraged. I did everything I could to try to take you into the intercourse behind the veil. I have played apostolic music, Pentecostal music, Baptist music. I have the best people on this phone. If you never hear from me again, you stick and listen to Jeremiah speak. I'm telling you, that's a preacher, man. He's for real. He's sincere about preaching that word. He know how to put them gravy on those potatoes, and he can rightly divide the word of truth. He is a teacher and a preacher. That Jeremiah is the real deal, and he brings some good speakers on. I'm so grateful. And I thank all of you for tuning in. We was able to thank the Archbishop, my friend, She have put us on radio, and we all around the world. I've met people from Pakistan. People call me from Africa and Jamaica. So I'm truly blessed. I thank you so much for that great opportunity. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going to keep going because I feel led. Hey, hallelujah. I just want to encourage you tonight, you know, no matter what it looks like. You know, I hate to say it, but it's in my spirit. I was married. And even my husband, I married my college professor. I never will forget this. He was like, you're not on my level. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, what's the level? You're not where I am. And God bless him today. We are the best of friends. And I see now that he have asked me for some help so he can get up on a level where he's trying to get to. So be encouraged regardless what anybody say about you. Be encouraged. I love being country. You know, I walk around all the time with no shoes on. I have a rag around my head now, and I can make biscuits from scratch, and I don't care. You know, I had got to a point in my life that I'm just going to be myself. I couldn't fit in with certain people. I went to every church possible, and it was always an issue because I didn't understand. I couldn't understand. How can you sing on a choir to show off and to make your voice sound a certain tempo or tone just so that you can get the gratitude of man? How could you preach behind a pulpit and know how to stir up the crowd just to get them to hoop and holler? I couldn't understand. Why go to church and put your Sunday clothes on so you could show off with the people coming in the church? It wasn't all bad, but I didn't understand. Why put women down? Because they want to be seek out the Lord and use. I'm that woman that was looking on the road, Martha, say, have you seen Jesus? I want to know that man. Hey, hallelujah. I thank God for mothers. And this is a salute to my mom, who I know is in heaven. And I hope you're listening down. Tell Jesus, I say, hello, I need a special favor. I need some prayer. I believe she's with him. But I salute the mothers today. I salute the fathers today. I salute those foster parents, those adopted parents. We need love. You know, that's part of the problem. Sometimes we look for love in the wrong places and we get in trouble because we just need a hug. We need somebody to say, I love you. And I thank God that when I used to go to church, they said, where your mother? I said, I ain't got none. All the mothers in the church, I could guarantee you that every time I went to church, the mothers would invite me, come on, baby. Come over here and get an old chicken dinner. I never had a problem with having a meal. The women in the church took care of me when my mother died. When I walked the street, they offered to, you know, let me sleep in their home. When I was trying to find my way in the Lord and I couldn't understand why church folks wouldn't act like church folks, they would just put me under their bosom and just take care of me. And they showed me what was apostolic, what it means to go and praise and worship. Then my godmother, Pastor Carolyn Watson, I love her dearly, showed me that Pentecostal, what it means to go into the intercourse and behind the veil so that God can hear that praise and you can get an answer. Hey, hallelujah. I thank God for mothers that I even think about when I went to my dad's funeral. I was by myself. Nobody even told me. I heard it through the grapevine. It was seven ministers of God. They said, come on, we're going to go with you. They was all in white. And they sat down and said, don't you move. And they took me all the way up to the front. And all the family was on one side because they were family. You know, I'm the black sheep. I'm the adopted one. I sat there by myself. Can you imagine sitting on a whole row by yourself with seven ministers of white and you by yourself? But it's all right. I saw him, and I used to visit the grave and tell him I thank you and I love him. And I thank God for the Pearson family who loved me when nobody else would, gave me opportunity to feel what it means to be a family person. So, yes, it's not all, you know, roses. Yes, you're going to have some hard times. You might be the black sheep. You might get abused. You might get raped. You might get used, get beat up on. But guess what? Through it all, God can bring you through. Through it all that God can do it. So I hope that I wasn't going this way, but when I feel like I just talk about the goodness of Lord and the mother that he have given me, the mothers who have taken care of me. To this day, I have mothers say, I'll be your mother. I got so many godmothers. The one called me last night, what you doing? I ain't heard from you. I can't do nothing, you know. I got godmothers checking on me. I got mothers, you know, next door looking. You live by yourself. What you doing over there? You know, I go to the church. I go around the world. But, you know, the greatest people who have shown me the most love are mothers and foreigners. I can get foreigners to call me, to invite me to the church, to support anything I'm doing worldwide and give me their best. I met Governor Tinubu in Africa. I went to the palace and had an army of soldiers follow me to the palace. You know, that was because of foreigners. I went all the way to Jamaica and was able to fellowship with church there that five or six pastors showed up. So I thank God for a salute to the foreigners, to the mothers, and to you, the listeners. I don't know who this is for. I definitely wasn't going this way, but I just want to just say to you that God loves you. You are his beloved. You know, country as I am, the way that I talk, I get on here to glorify God and to give you some hope. Yeah, I spank you sometimes. I tell you the truth. I know you don't like it. Just say ouch, but don't hang up. You know, I be just trying to encourage you. God is real. He's shown me so many times that he's real. He has, I said, God, give me a sign. He put in my heart, you just like another group of people. You got to have a sign. You got to go by faith. You got to know me for yourself. Trust me. Hey, hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing for Jesus. I love him. Honest to God. I'm going to give you this last testimony. I feel, you know, I told you I feel all right. Y'all done prayed me through my cold. I don't know what I had. I had the sore throat, stuffy nose, runny nose, stuffy ears. I was sick. I was tore from the floor. I don't know what was going on. My doctor said, go check and see if you got COVID. I said, I'm not going to check. He said, why? I said, because I don't want to know. I rebuke it. I don't want to know nothing that's going to make me feel bad. I got COVID. I could die. I don't want to know any of that. Whatever it is, I'm going to turn it over to God. And I said, God, heal me. But it was your prayers. I thank you so much for the great group of people of Jeremiah Speak that prays for me. I thank you, mothers who don't even know me on this fair. I thank you, Archbishop, who sent out a wellness. A salute to all of y'all. Hey, hallelujah. And I just want to say to you that I have did everything I know to tell you that God is real. I've gave, you know, brought in the best preachers. I've, whatever door opened for me, I opened it up for you and anybody so you could go worldwide. I did all I could to show you how to go into the inner court, go behind the veil to get a praise on, and then to say to you that you are his beloved. You know, and I thank God for Dr. Pat Stewart, who first put me on the radio, who then had that I went to satellite behind Billy Graham, and now I'm on this radio station here. Oh, I forgot I'm on another one, too. But anyway, I just want to say, whatever you do, do it earnestly from yourself. And I was going to give you a little message today. Say, be an originator, not an imitator. Don't be a carbon copy of nobody else. Be yourself. God made you, and I looked it up. I looked up the scriptures so I would be ready tonight and didn't even use them. That Philippians 2 and 3, that we are to the body that God has given us. Love yourself. So what? You know, people don't like your skin, like your color, like your shape, like your height. Who cares? They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, and they don't pay your bills, and if they do, get a job, pay your own. Just ignore them. Who cares? You know, and don't look for love in all the wrong places. Ah, hallelujah. I could tell you about that. That'll be another sermon. But I just want to let you know that you are so special. Each week, you know, I just think about what I can say to you to encourage you. I say to you to China, you know, show some love, you know, embrace each other. Don't get so wrapped up in technology and all. God, just keep putting China in my heart that, you know, don't get caught up, you know, just enjoy being alive in the land of the living. Look at that COVID, all that stuff, how it took out all those people and went through the whole world. Y'all are so smart, but you need to just go ahead and embrace the glory, seek the mercy seat, and the love of God. I want to speak to Africa today. Thank you so much. You know, I see a lot of Africans going to other countries because of civil wars. They want an opportunity to have a good life as well. But don't forget your roots. Always go back and check on family and friends. So what, you made it in America, you made it in other countries. Make your family known that you haven't forgotten them. You know, I try to find my real family. I went all the way to Harlem, New York. I found out that my real family was from Harlem, I think, and I was rejected. And they used to be background singers at the Apollo. theater in New York. I don't know why I can't sing a lick, but they were background singers, sung with a lot of the richest group and the best groups in America. And I saw this lady, and she said, I don't know if you my child. What you come up here for? I got rid of four babies. If I wanted you, I would have kept you. I put my little tail between my legs, came on back to Baltimore, and I've been out here by myself. My mother has been dead now over 25 years, maybe 30. I don't stop counting. And I'm telling you, it was so nice that the way that she gave me love, showed me how to make biscuits from scratch. And sometimes she said, don't worry about it, baby. If you ain't got no electricity, she said, let me tell you something. If you got food, you put it out there, dig a hole in the ground, put it in a pot, God going to have the earth to keep it cool and cold. I guarantee you your refrigerator's in the ground. Woo! And she said, if you ain't got electricity, don't worry about it. Watch this. She said, God going to put that sun up every day. It's going to be enough sun to make your whole house light up. She said, he got the sun by day and the moon by night. God got you. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Oh, I love her today. I just thank you. Thank you all so much. Well, so much for me and my mouth. See what happened when you pray me back? Pray that I feel better. That mouth get to God. Woo, hallelujah. I know you're sick of hearing me, so let me play some tunes. Let me find some music that you all could enjoy, because I don't go down that path, but I went there today. Let's see. Lord, keep me day by day. My mama used to love that song. Let's hear that. Lord, keep me day by day. But I want to salute to all of you all over the world, no matter how raggedy, how poor God is able. You know, no matter if you don't have food, somebody going to drop past and give you a biscuit or a wheat or some. If you can make it, you know, you can walk from one road to another town if necessary. God will give you strength in your legs. You don't have a job, you keep pushing. I walked into an office and asked for employment, a government job at that. I didn't even take a test. The man was so impressed, he gave me a job. And when I went to college, I didn't have no money. My mother, she saved up $200, sent me to a university with $200, and the people were laughing at me and all, but I got a scholarship. Well, not a scholarship, a Pell Grant, a loan. You know, so, and believe it or not, as country as I am, I have taught over 1,000 students at historical black universities, and I am a college professor. I teach psychology, developmental psychology, abnormal psychology. All I do is try to tell people that there's nothing wrong with your mind. You just got to have hope. Hey, and the great I am. See, there I go, that mouth. I'm feeling all right. Well, so much for that message I had tonight, so much for anything, just to say thank you for listening to the Fivefold Ministry. I'm Margie Mercer, but they call me Apostle because I go around the world and make sure things are ran right from God. I'm a prophet because I say, thus say the host, what the Lord of God is saying. Wait a minute, let me do it right. What thus say the Lord of hosts, that's what I speak. I'm also, I move in a prophetic. I prophesied, and I love to praise God. Like I'm going to dance this week with flags and a prayer shawl. My daughter's, she's going to actually do the actual praise dance, and she laughed. She said, your knees might give out. So I'm going to glorify him. So God bless you. Just stay tuned. It won't be as bad as it was tonight. I guess, you know, I'm feeling my mother. I've been feeling my mother for all this week. I've been thinking about her. But any old way, let's say, Lord, keep me day by day. I had put out another one, Murray, Don't You Weep. I saw one, Lord, Do It For Me. I feel like going on. Mm-mm. I like that one right there. I might take that. Uh-oh, I Stood on the Banks of Jordan. Maybe I'll play that one. Then I had, Oh, It Is Jesus. Oh, I Meet You at the Meeting. Remember they used to tell you that? I Meet You Down at the Church. Hey, it's nothing like being country. Good God Almighty. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry each week, 7:30 to 8 p.m., and on Sundays from 9 to 10. So I think I'm going to say I'm going to play I Stood on the Banks of Jordan. That's where I want to go. I sure stood somewhere that somebody saw that this baby needs some help. She needs a hug and she needs some love. And let us listen to that. Thank you so much. I'm sorry this wasn't the best broadcast tonight, but I'm just caught up thinking about the women, the mothers, the prevailing prayers of all those people that prayed me through. Guess what? I stood on the banks, but I came through. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
busted on the bank of Jordan one day. I had to flee.
Oh,